Hey everyone, and welcome back. Today we're doing a deep dive into something pretty fascinating when it comes to economics.
It's certainly a hot topic.
Yeah, we're talking about Trump's tariff strategies and whether those could maybe even be tied to a shift away from the US dollar as the, you know, the dominant global currency.
It's a really interesting connection to explore.
It is. And we've got two sources we're looking at today. One is from American Thinker, which makes a case for Trump's tariffs.
Okay.
And then another source, it's actually a combination of insights from Liberty Beacon and Epoch Times.
Uh-huh.
And that one's diving into this whole idea of de-dollarization.
Right.
So what we're really trying to figure out today is, are these two seemingly separate things? Like, are they actually connected?
That's the million-dollar question. And it's a complex one for sure.
It really is. So, to get started, can you just break down this de-dollarization thing for us? Like, what exactly does it mean?
So basically, de-dollarization means that countries are looking to reduce their reliance on the U.S. dollar for trade and finance.
Okay, so like they wouldn't use the dollar as much.
Right. They might use their own currencies more, or maybe even create completely new systems for transactions.
Hmm. Can you give me an example?
So imagine a world where instead of using dollars for international trade, countries use a basket of currencies or maybe even a new global currency altogether. That's the kind of shift we're talking about.
Wow, that would be a huge e-change.
It would definitely shake things up.
Okay, so let's start with Trump's tariff logic. The American Thinker article lays out five main arguments for why these tariffs were put in place. The first one is it talks about tariffs as a tool for, like, behavior modification in other countries.
Behavior modification?
Yeah. It's almost like a tough love approach, you know, to international relations.
Interesting.
The idea is that by using tariffs, you can pressure countries to crack down on things like drug trafficking and illegal immigration.
Mm. That raises an interesting question. Is it really realistic to think that tariffs can solve those kinds of complex problems?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, drug trafficking and immigration, those are really deep-rooted issues.
Exactly. They're often driven by a whole web of social, political, and economic factors.
Yeah.
Using tariffs to address them might be a bit like using a hammer to fix a watch.
Yeah, might not be the right tool for the job. Okay, what about the second argument? Revitalizing American industry and helping the middle class.
Right.
The article paints this picture of bringing back manufacturing jobs that were lost to outsourcing, you know? Like, kind of a comeback story for sectors that have struggled.
It's definitely a powerful narrative.
Yeah.
Especially for people who feel like they've been left behind by globalization.
For sure.
But we have to ask, can tariffs alone really revitalize entire industries?
Right.
There's a risk of unintended consequences, too, like higher prices for consumers, mm-hmm. potential retaliation from other countries, and disruptions to global supply chains.
It's like you're trying to fix one problem, but you might create a bunch of others in the process.
Exactly. It's a delicate balance.
Okay, so maybe not a simple solution. What about the argument that tariffs can actually help counter inflation? That one seemed a bit counterintuitive to me.
Yeah, that one's definitely debatable. The article suggests that by encouraging domestic production and reducing demand for certain goods, tariffs could actually help offset price increases.
Okay.
But a lot of economists argue the opposite, that tariffs could make inflation worse because they drive up the cost of imported goods.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And those higher costs can trickle down and affect prices for all kinds of things, not just the imported goods themselves.
Right, because those higher costs for businesses eventually get passed along to consumers like me and you and everyone listening.
Precisely. And inflation, that affects everybody. It erodes your purchasing power and makes it harder to make ends meet.
So tariffs might not be the magic bullet for inflation. What's the next argument?
The next one is about shifting consumption habits, moving away from what the article calls cheap junk.
Cheap junk.
Yeah. It's advocating for Americans to buy fewer but higher quality goods, and specifically American-made goods.
Okay, so kind of like a buy less, buy better philosophy, but with a focus on supporting American businesses. Do you think that's realistic?
Well, it certainly appeals to the desire for quality and sustainability, but it also raises questions about affordability and choice.
Yeah.
Can everyone afford to buy only American-made products, especially if they come with a higher price tag? And what about the availability of certain goods? Some products might just not be made in America.
Right. There's that practicality to consider. Okay, and the final argument from the article.
The final one brings in the national security angle. It argues that we need to bring production of critical military and infrastructure components back to the U.S. to strengthen national security. And specifically, it talks about disentangling from reliance on China for these things.
That's a big one for sure. I mean, it makes sense to have domestic production capabilities for essential goods, but how do you strike that balance between national security and economic interdependence?
Yeah, it's a tough question.
It's like you're trying to make yourself more secure, but you might end up isolating yourself or creating weaknesses in other areas.
Exactly. We have to ask, do these kinds of sweeping tariffs actually make us safer in the long run, or do they create new vulnerabilities?
It's a complex calculation with no easy answers. So we've got these five arguments for Trump's tariffs. Some of them sound appealing on the surface, but when you dig deeper, you start to see all these complexities and potential downsides.
Absolutely. It's important to look beyond the sound bites and really think critically about the impact these policies could have on the economy, on consumers, and on our relationships with other countries.
Now, while all this is going on with tariffs, there's another trend happening that could be connected, and that's the rise of the BRICS nations and this move away from the dollar that we were talking about. This bloc, Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, and now also Egypt, Ethiopia, Iran, and the United Arab Emirates, they represent a huge chunk of the global economy.
A huge chunk.
Yeah, over 37% of global GDP.
Wow. That's a significant force to be reckoned with.
It is. And Trump, he hasn't exactly been quiet about this whole thing.
What do you mean?
Well, he's threatened to slap a 100% tariff on BRICS economies if they ditch the dollar. It's a pretty bold power play.
It certainly shows how important the U.S. sees maintaining the dollar's dominance.
Yeah. So how likely is it that the BRICS could actually succeed in challenging the dollar? Our sources from Liberty Beacon and Epoch Times, they have some contrasting opinions from experts.
Yep.
Some say the BRICS are, and I'm quoting here, a basket of basket cases with no chance of dethroning the dollar.
Mm.
But others are saying to keep an eye on the growing use of the Chinese yuan. So what do you think?
Well, it's important to acknowledge that there are no easy answers here. The U.S. dollar still holds a very powerful position in global finance. It makes up about 60% of global foreign exchange reserves.
Wow.
But we can't ignore the combined economic power of the BRICS nations or their efforts to promote alternative currencies.
Right. Especially the yuan.
Especially the yuan, yes.
The articles point out that trade within the BRICS bloc itself is only about 1% of global trade, which doesn't seem like much.
Sure.
But they also say that the yuan's share in international payments has tripled since before the pandemic. So is that something to be concerned about?
It suggests that while the BRICS have a long way to go to truly challenge the dollar, they're making progress. They're building alternative financial systems and using their currencies more and more in international transactions.
So the dollar is still king, but the BRICS are gaining ground.
That's a good way to put it. It's a slow but potentially significant shift in the global financial landscape.
Okay, so let's bring this back to the beginning. How do Trump's protectionist tariffs fit into this whole de-dollarization trend? Could they actually be fueling it?
It's the big question, isn't it? It's possible that Trump's aggressive tariff policies and those threats against countries moving away from the dollar could actually be pushing countries to do exactly that. Think about it. If the U.S. is seen as using tariffs as a weapon and creating uncertainty in global trade, it might make other countries want to find alternatives to the dollar system.
And they don't want to be caught in the crossfire.
Exactly. And there's a quote from a Russian spokesperson in one of the articles that really stood out to me. They said that if the U.S. tries to force countries to use the dollar through economic pressure, it will only make the trend of switching to national currencies stronger.
That's a pretty clear message.
It is. It suggests that those actions could backfire, pushing countries further away from the dollar instead of keeping them in line.
It's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy. The harder you try to cling to power, the more you risk losing it.
It's a great way to put it. It really highlights the importance of thinking about the long-term consequences of our actions, especially when it comes to the global economy.
Well said. We've covered a lot of ground here. But I think one thing's clear, this situation is incredibly complex.
No simple answers here.
Right. There are valid arguments on both sides when it comes to tariffs and the future of the dollar.
You got it. What's important is that we stay informed, consider different perspectives, and think critically about the potential consequences of the choices we make. And for you listening, one key question to consider is, if the dollar's not the big player anymore, how could that affect things like loans you take out or the investments you make?
Ooh, that's a great point.
Something to think about.
It is. And we'll be digging into those potential consequences in the next part of our deep dive, so stay tuned. All right, so we've been exploring how Trump's tariff strategies could be connected to this rise of the BRICS nations and them moving away from the U.S. dollar.
It's a fascinating dynamic, isn't it?
It really is. But now I kind of want to get into the nitty-gritty. Like, what would a world actually look like where the dollar isn't the top dog anymore?
Yeah.
How would it affect the global economy, everyday transactions? What about investments? I mean, it's almost hard to wrap your head around.
It's definitely a complex scenario with, well, a lot of moving parts, but we can try to break it down step by step.
Okay.
So first, if the dollar loses its status as the world's primary reserve currency, one of the things we could see is less demand for U.S. Treasury bonds.
Okay, so for someone like me who doesn't live and breathe finance, what does that even mean? U.S. Treasury bonds. Are those like the savings bonds my grandma used to give me? What do they have to do with my everyday life?
They're similar to savings bonds in that they're both loans, but U.S. Treasury bonds are on a much larger scale. When countries hold U.S. dollars as reserves, they often invest a big chunk of those dollars in U.S. Treasury bonds, basically lending money to the U.S. government.
Okay.
So if demand for those bonds goes down, the U.S. government has to offer higher interest rates to attract buyers.
And higher interest rates mean?
Well, think about loans. Higher interest rates mean loans become more expensive. Mortgages, car loans, student loans, business loans, anything you borrow money for gets pricier. It also makes it more expensive for the U.S. government to borrow money, which could lead to cuts in government spending, potentially even higher taxes. So yeah, the ripple effects could be pretty big.
Wow. So it could impact everyday people like you and me in a lot of ways.
Okay, let's say the dollar isn't the main currency for international trade anymore. Would that mean everything just grinds to a halt?
It's unlikely that trade would completely stop, but it would definitely get more complicated and probably more expensive too. Businesses would need to figure out currency exchanges and could be dealing with more volatility in exchange rates. Just imagine, like, prices constantly fluctuating because of currency shifts.
That sounds like a huge headache.
Yeah, it could create a lot of uncertainty for businesses, which could mean higher prices for us as consumers.
It just seems like a recipe for instability, you know?
Yeah, it's a valid concern. And then there's the potential impact on the U.S.'s position in the world. You know, for decades, having the dollar as the dominant currency has given the U.S. a lot of leverage globally.
Yeah.
Both economically and politically. Right. It's been a really powerful tool. But I'm trying to picture this world you're talking about where power is distributed more evenly among different countries. Wouldn't that make things more unpredictable? Like, is there a risk of more conflicts or maybe even economic instability if there isn't one clear leader in the global economy?
It's a great question. And it gets to the heart of some of the anxieties around a potential decline in the dollar's dominance. But, you know, it's important to remember that a decline wouldn't necessarily be like a sudden crash.
Okay.
You would probably be a more gradual process with other currencies like the euro or the yuan gaining more prominence over time.
So more of a gradual rebalancing than a sudden collapse. It kind of reminds me of when the dollar was taken off the gold standard back in the 70s. It was a period of major change and uncertainty.
That's a great historical parallel.
But it also opened up opportunities for new financial markets to emerge.
That's a really important point. And it's true, right? Change often brings both challenges and de-opportunities.
Right.
And it's really how we adapt and respond to those changes that'll determine what happens in the end.
That makes sense. So no one has a crystal ball.
Right.
But what we can do is try to understand these potential trends so that we can be as prepared as possible for whatever the future holds.
Right? Exactly. Staying informed and adaptable. Those are key things in a world that's constantly changing.
Absolutely. So for anyone listening, here's something to think about. If the dollar's influence does start to decline, what kinds of opportunities might that create? For other currencies, for other economies, and how could you as an individual navigate those changes?
That's a great question for everyone to ponder. It's definitely a fascinating time to be thinking about global economics.
It really is. It feels like there's so much potential for big shifts in the years ahead.
For sure. And don't forget, knowledge is power. The more you understand these trends, the better equipped you'll be to make smart decisions about your own finances and investments.
Speaking of investments, if things are moving away from the dollar, should I be looking at investing in other currencies? What advice would you give someone like me who's just starting to think about this stuff?
It's something to consider, but remember, all investments come with risk. Investing in foreign currencies can be particularly volatile, so it's important to do your research and make sure you're comfortable with the risks involved.
Okay, so don't put all your eggs in one basket.
Right. Diversification is key, and it's important to have a long-term investment strategy. Don't make any rash decisions based on short-term fluctuations.
So be prepared for a bumpy ride, but don't panic.
Exactly. With careful planning and a willingness to embrace change, a shift away from the dollar could create some unique opportunities for people who are willing to learn and adapt.
That's a good point. Okay, so we've talked about the potential downsides of a declining dollar, but let's try to look at the other side of the coin for a second.
Okay.
Could there be any silver linings to this whole thing? I mean, change can be a bit scary, but sometimes it can be exciting too, right?
That's a great point. It's important to remember that change, even when it comes to economics, usually brings both challenges and opportunities. It's all about perspective.
So what kind of opportunities are we talking about? Give me the optimistic take.
Well, one potential upside is that a less dominant dollar could actually create a more multipolar world, one where power is more evenly distributed among different countries and regions. That could lead to more cooperation and less reliance on any single country for economic stability.
So a more balanced global playing field, less of a one-size-fits-all approach.
Precisely. And it could also lead to more innovation and competition in the global financial system.
How so?
Well, as other currencies and financial instruments become more important, it could create a really dynamic environment. We could see new financial technologies and platforms emerge, new ways to facilitate trade and investment, and maybe even new ways to think about money altogether.
Like a real shakeup of the status quo. And that could lead to some pretty exciting developments.
Exactly. And for emerging economies, a decline in the dollar's dominance could give them a chance to increase their own power and influence on the world stage. We're already seeing countries like China and India making big moves in this direction. And a less dollar-centric world could give them even more momentum.
So it's not just about economics. It's about power and influence. And it sounds like a pretty massive transition could be on the horizon.
It's definitely an interesting time to be watching all this unfold.
Now, we can't forget about Trump's tariffs in all of this. How could this potential shift away from the dollar impact the effectiveness of those tariffs?
That's a really great question. It's definitely something to think about. If countries are moving away from using the dollar for trade, then the impact of U.S. tariffs could actually be weakened.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Like if they're not using dollars as much, then the threat of U.S. tariffs doesn't hold as much weight. It's like if someone threatens to take away something that you no longer value, the threat loses its power.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So basically, a decline in the dollar could limit how much the U.S. can influence global trade through tariffs.
Potentially, yes. It would depend on how big the shift away from the dollar is and how fast it happens.
Right.
But it's definitely something that policymakers need to be aware of as they're thinking about the long-term effectiveness of tariffs as a strategy.
This has been a really fascinating discussion.
It has.
We've gone from Trump's tariffs to this possibility of a huge shift in the global currency system. It's a lot to take in.
It's definitely a complex and ever-changing landscape.
It is. But for you listening, remember, knowledge is power. The more you understand these global trends, the better you'll be able to navigate the changes that are coming.
I agree.
So keep exploring, keep asking questions, and most importantly, keep learning. Who knows what exciting discoveries await? But before we wrap up completely, let's go back to those sources we were talking about earlier, Liberty Beacon and Epoch Times. You mentioned they had some pretty different opinions from experts on whether the BRICS have a real shot at taking on the dollar.
Yes, they did.
Can we dig into those perspectives a little more?
Absolutely. It's always good to look at both sides of the coin. Yeah. So let's explore those contrasting viewpoints and what they could mean for the future of global finance. Mm-hmm. You're right. Always good to look at all sides of the story. So let's unpack those contrasting opinions from Liberty Beacon and Epoch Times about whether the BRICS, you know, can really challenge the dollar's dominance.
Okay, let's start with the skeptics, the ones calling BRICS a basket of basket cases. What are they basing that on?
Well, they point to a few things. First, they highlight the economic and political differences within the BRICS. You know, you've got these diverse countries with different levels of development, different political systems, different economic priorities. Mm-hmm. Getting them all on the same page, like to coordinate a challenge to the dollar, it could be really tough.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's like herding cats, right? Hard to get them all moving in the same direction. So what else are the skeptics saying?
Well, they also talk about the sheer size and depth of the U.S. financial system. The dollar has been the global reserve currency for decades.
Right.
And the U.S. financial markets are the biggest and most liquid in the world. To knock the dollar off that perch, it would take a huge, sustained effort.
It's like they're saying, don't underestimate the dollar.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They argue that the BRICS, while economically powerful, they don't yet have the financial infrastructure or, you know, the global trust to really replace the dollar.
Okay, so that's the skeptical view. What about the other side? What are the folks who see the BRICS as a potential threat focused on?
Well, those folks, they point to a couple key trends. First, they emphasize the growing economic power of the BRICS. Together, they represent a big chunk of global GDP and a huge growing consumer market.
Right. They've got the numbers, that's for sure.
They do. And they're using that collective power to create alternative institutions and mechanisms, you know, to bypass the dollar. Think of things like the New Development Bank, sometimes called the BRICS Bank.
Right.
And the increasing use of bilateral currency swap agreements between BRICS countries.
So they're kind of building their own financial playground separate from the dollar-dominated system.
Exactly. They're also leveraging technology to create new platforms for payments and settlements that don't rely on the SWIFT system, which, you know, is heavily influenced by the U.S.
So they're not just talking, they're taking action, creating new options.
Right. And then there's the wild card, the Chinese yuan.
Ah, yes, China.
China's economic rise has been incredible, and the yuan's international role is growing.
That's the part that really jumped out at me in the articles, the idea of the yuan as a potential challenger to the dollar. It's kind of David and Goliath, isn't it?
It is a bit. And while the yuan has a way to go to match the dollar's global reach, it's making progress, particularly in trade with developing countries.
So China's ambitions are a big part of this whole de-dollarization movement. From those who believe the BRICS could really dethrone the dollar, what would you say is their strongest argument?
I think their strongest argument is the shifting geopolitical landscape. The world is becoming more multipolar. Power is shifting away from traditional institutions. The BRICS are at the forefront of that shift, and they want to create a new world order that reflects their growing influence.
So this goes way beyond just economics. It's about power, influence, and maybe even reshaping the entire global order. It sounds like a huge transition.
It does, doesn't it?
So if the dollar's dominance does decline, what does that mean for everyday people? What should we be paying attention to? How can we prepare for these potential changes?
Those are great questions. I think first and foremost, stay informed about these global economic trends and how they might impact you.
Okay.
Pay attention to exchange rates, especially if you travel or do business internationally.
So it's going to become even more important to understand how currencies relate to each other.
Exactly. Also, think about diversifying your investments. Don't put all your eggs in one basket, especially if that basket is tied to the U.S. dollar. Explore opportunities to invest in other currencies and assets that could benefit from a shift away from the dollar.
Diversify, explore new options, stay adaptable. Got it.
And maybe, most importantly, try to cultivate a global mindset. The world is becoming more interconnected, and understanding different cultures, economies, and perspectives, well, that's going to be crucial in navigating these changes.
This has been a truly eye-opening deep dive.
Yes.
We've gone from Trump's tariffs to this possibility of a major shift in the global currency system. Explored the arguments for and against the BRICS challenging the dollar. We even talked about how these trends could affect us as individuals. It's a lot to think about.
A lot to think about, but also really exciting, don't you think?
It is. And for everyone listening, remember, knowledge is power. The more you understand these global trends, the better equipped you'll be to make informed decisions and thrive in an ever-changing world. Keep exploring, keep asking questions, and keep learning. Who knows what exciting discoveries await? Until next time.